Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
All right, you should be excited because my guest today is Charles Rosenay, and also excited because it's October 1st, it's the month of Halloween, and we're just combining these two things. A showman, a shaman, an author, a person that has been involved in show business for years, has a lot of connections. First of all, he does Fright Haven. He's done that for many, many years here in Connecticut. He's written at least two books. I think he's got another one on the way. The book of top 10 horror lists, True Ghost Stories of Connecticut, which I got to see and hold in my bare hand last year when he had a conference. He's been putting on conferences and conventions and tours. He's a man after my own heart. I like to think of him as the shaman and the showman, or the showman and the shaman. Charles, thanks for being on the broadcast today.
Thank you for that. Thanks for the great intro. Yeah, I got a lot going on, and I'm having a lot of fun with all the things I do.
Yeah, so, you know, I love the branding of the shaman, the showman, the showman, the shaman. I mean, you've been around show business for years. Like, how did you get your start in show business? Let's start there.
I got my show business start while I was still in school, and I started producing Beatles conventions. I was working as a executive. I was right under the executive producer of a theater right in college as like an intern, and loved doing it so much and learned so much of the world of showbiz, what to do and as much as that, what not to do. And, you know, that parlayed itself into a career where music was everything. I mean, DJing my whole life, parties and weddings and all that fun stuff. But it never left my blood producing, and that was conventions and festivals. And my other love besides music has always been horror and monsters and all that good stuff. So it just made sense for all the things that I love to continue to do the things I did in the past music-wise and just transpose it into all the stuff I did, horror-wise and monster-wise.
Wow. So I read something on Facebook the other day. They said, if you were to go back to your high school years and think about what you wanted to be doing then, what are you doing now? It sounds like you're the guy that's doing what you wanted to do back then and you're enjoying your life.
You know, it's so true. If you asked the 17-year-old me what I'd want to be doing the rest of my life, would I want to be in the monster field and in the music field and producing Beatles events and horror events and paranormal events? I said, sign me up now. I would never have been as hopeful as pursuing this. It's not really a career either. It's kind of like, you know, I've never 9-to-5 worked where I've been in an office nonstop or on a roof doing construction. It's always been 24 hours of my life being in producing and promoting and doing all the crazy stuff I do.
Right. Well, you're a lucky guy because most people – most men, most women, most people on the planet, they have to go to work and do something that they hate to do, and they're kind of looking at the weekend like, I can't wait till Friday, and then they hate Sunday night because they got to go to work on Monday. But you're one of those, it's a small percentage of people on the planet that is living by their passion, they're creating, they're making a difference, and they're doing what they love to do. So you mentioned about show business, and you said two things. Number one, know what to do. The lessons you learned what to do and the lessons that you learned not to do. Now, I know you've been around this for years. Can you give us a couple tips about things that you want to avoid if you're in show business or, you know, things that would work? Just a few. I'd love to hear them.
Well, I've made the mistakes of even when I've learned what not to do. In 2010, I produced something called Rock Con, which was the weekend of 100 rock stars. And I just thought that was going to be the music version of Comic-Con. And I had literally 100 rock stars in New Jersey at the Meadowlands, and the convention was great. People had the greatest time. I mean, everyone who went there, when are you going to do it again? Every rock star who was there, you know, said, oh, this is amazing. When are you going to do it again? except I lost a fortune. I didn't start small. Whereas when I did the Beatles festivals and conventions, I started small and built up. When I did the paranormal convention, started small, built up. Everything I've always done, I've always tried to start small and build up and not take huge risks. But with the rock hunt, I did. I did against everything I knew and thought it was such a winner. And I never had deep enough pockets to bounce back on that particular thing. If you think in 2010, 13 years later, if I was doing this event, every year since then, and I had started smaller and built up to it, who knows what it could have been. So, it's hard to say what not to do, even though I learned what not to do, because I don't think I, put it into my own world when I should have. But the other thing is also just, always be fair and treat everyone the way you want to be treated. It's simple stuff. It's no brainer. It's not going back and reinventing the wheel. The lowest person is the same as the highest person. There's no such thing. Everyone with the same amount of respect. And know that everyone has similar passions. I mean, I go into the Beatles events knowing that the people who are on, let's say, my Beatles tour to Liverpool or at a convention watching a band, whatever the case may be, that this might be the first time that they've ever done it, and it might be the last time. It's no different than if a rock concert takes place and the guy on stage, I would hope, gives it 100%, knowing that, maybe 80% of the crowd heard that song before, but the 20% didn't. And the 80% that heard it want to hear it again. It drives me crazy when a musician comes out and only plays new material. It doesn't make sense and won't play their hits. You want to give people what you would want if you were in that same crowd.
Yeah, you really are in the people business. And when it's show business, a lot of people want to be on stage in the limelight. You, at one time, focused on production, and then you kind of crossed over. Like, you were behind the table signing books, and you were the guy that people wanted to see. Tell us about that and how that happened.
Yeah, Greg, it's so true. I would go to conventions, and I'd go gaga over the authors or the actors or whoever was on the other side of the table, and I still do. I still try to get photos with everyone, sometimes autographs. But, when COVID hit and I started becoming an author, I put together one of those banners that you see at conventions where it's not, the face of the person and what their credits are. And I'm thinking, wait a second, my banner is a multi-purpose banner. Yeah, I'm a producer / author, but there's also the / actor. I've been in so many short films and horror movies and so many productions, I thought, I'll put some of those, credits up on the banner too. So when I sit behind a table, I'm shocked that people aren't just coming up to get my Beatles book or my horror book or my ghost book, but they're also, I saw you in such and such. I saw you on HBO's Flight of the Conchords. You played Elton John. That was so amazing. So it's a good feeling to be on that other side of the table and being able to meet the fans who appreciate the stuff you do.
Well, you sound like a yes guy. If someone offers you an opportunity, you're going to say yes to it, or you're going to create a yes opportunity. Most people, they're afraid. I don't know what it is. Fear. They're afraid of failing, right? You don't seem to have that gene, do you?
I don't think that's not even part of my vocabulary. Unless it's something that is detrimental or I know is going to be negative for someone else, my first impulse is yes. And then how do I figure it out? And it's funny you followed up, my acting thing with that question, because I remember getting a call from a producer of HBO's Flight of the Conchords, and they had seen my resume somewhere, and on the resume I put all the things I had done, and they said, you can imitate Elton John, is that right? And without batting an eye, Greg, I said yes. Have never even thought about it. I did a McCartney, did a Billy Joel, did a few things, and got there, and sure enough, they fitted me with the wig, they put on a ridiculous hat, the glasses, they filled a space in my tooth, and when you look at it, I somehow brought Elton to the part, and it was myself and the actor Patton Oswalt. We both played Elton John in the same episode, and it's just that's such a great thing. But yes, I try to say yes first because I want to please the person saying, asking the question, and then I want to come through. I want to somehow be able to, you know, make that yes a reality. And the person I say that more to anyone else is to myself. You know, when, mm-hmm. when the question came up, Charles, you've produced Beatles conventions. You've been at horror conventions. Would you like to do a paranormal convention? I didn't even give it a thought. My yes came out before the question was finished. And that's how that yeah. was probably the genesis. That was the genesis of us starting to do paranormal conventions in Connecticut, which have then become paranormal conventions in Salem. That we do the Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention every year.
Wow. I remember, I don't know, this must have been about 4 years ago. I was on a television show, a cable show here in Litchfield. And as I walked off as a guest, the producer said, hey, would you like your own show? And I went, sure, why not? Yes. He goes, why don't you go home yeah. and think about it? I said, for what? He says, no, you really need to think about it. I said, no, I've already thought about it. You know, it's interesting, Charles. A lot of people, I think what they do is they have to figure out how they're going to do it first. Let me figure out how I'm going to make it happen so I don't look like a fool, and then I'll say yes. And then there are rare people like you, possibly like me as well, where we just go, you know what? I've been thinking about this. This is an opportunity. I'm going to just say yes and do it. And then you try to figure it out on the way falling down. And you're not afraid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now in my stage, the only hesitation comes if does time allow. You know, every single weeknight in October, I'm booked for doing a library appearance to promote my books. And then every
wow.
weekend, it's either conventions or festivals or, you know, the few DJ gigs that I actually take in October, which I shouldn't. But, my gosh, that's the only no in my life now is if time doesn't allow it, because I want to do it all. You know, I want to be at the Bull Event, every book signing. I want to be at all these places.
Well, I have a question. We didn't rehearse this. We really didn't talk about a script here, but I'm intrigued by your library presentations. I start this week on the 3rd of October, and I go to the 30th, and it's the tri-state area. Are you looking tri-state? Is that what you're doing as far as libraries?
Eventually. Right now I'm in so many Connecticut libraries that I haven't tapped that market completely yet. But, if it makes sense. All of September and prior to that, I was doing appearances based around my book, the book of top 10 Beatles lists. And then as of tomorrow, we're taping this on October 1st, and it's live, and then it's gonna, I'll be sharing it later. But every single night starting October 2nd, I'm talking about my True Ghosts of Connecticut book at libraries throughout this state. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I have a selfish reason for asking. I would love to book you as far as getting your name out, because I just got on the phone and sent emails, and I booked myself for the whole month of October, and I could do the same for you. But we'll have to talk about that afterwards. Let's talk about the True Ghost Stories of Connecticut. What is one of the most powerful stories that's in that book? Which one jumps out at you?
It's funny you should ask, because we have a mutual friend named Rich, and I want to give him the best plug in the world, because his story in there is great. And what it is for people who don't know, True Ghost Stories of Connecticut. I took the challenge of writing this book, because there were so many books out there of, all right, this is such and such a place, and this is its history, and this is where it's located. That's great, and that deserves a place in everyone's library. But my book was a little different. I reached out to people to ask them what their scariest, most amazing wow moment that happened at a place. And a few of them were residences, a few of them were businesses, a few of them were places that no one heard of. But most of those were places that you think, whoa, okay, I get it. It was a hospital. It was an opera house. There were reasons why these places might have been haunted. And I had two criteria for putting out the book. One was that it had something to do with our very haunted state of Connecticut. And the other criteria was that it was a true story. Greg, I didn't want embellishment. I didn't want someone flowering it up with, you know, making it spookier than it was. You know, tell me the truth. And, you know, if the person didn't write well, of course, I edited it. If we have photos, I added photos, because I wanted to make it a great read for the people who got it. But all the stories are amazing. One that stands out happens to be about a hospital in Bridgeport. And I think another one, every one of them stands out. It's hard to pick. And one of them I tell is of the Pink Lady of New Haven. And that's come up a few times recently because I've spoken to people who lived 60, 70 years in New Haven, and I always will bring up, did you ever hear of the Pink Lady? And they go, wait, you mean the White Lady of Monroe, of Stepney, of Union 70? I go, no, that's a separate one. I'm talking about the Pink Lady because it's something that I experienced in college. And Greg, you know, people say, do you believe in this stuff? You know, you're going on psychic paranormal investigations. You're going to these haunted places. You're doing paranormal conventions. You're the showman, but now do you believe in it? Have you become the shaman? Have you become the psychic? And my answer, it's not an easy answer because do I believe? I can't not believe. I like to play the skeptic and the non-believer because it's a fun role against whoever I'm with who is that clairvoyant and who does have those powers. But what I do is I take amazing pictures where things come out in the photos, and then it's like, wow, how can I not believe? But the Pink Lady is something that happened to me in college, and it's a long story, and I'd rather someone just read the book because I think I tell it really well rather than tell it on the air. But after that, I should have been more keen to paranormal stuff, but I put it on a back burner. I'd forgotten about it until I was putting together this book and thought, wait a second, this is an amazing ghost story. That's happened to me. That happened to me more than once. When it happened, I took my parents to the place to see if the same thing would happen, and it did, and then brought my friends there. So it's is that a good teaser for a great story?
Yeah. I just want to get my hands on the book. You know, I think about Halloween, you have different levels of people interpreting the whole holiday. Some people, it's just fun and games, and then you have other people that want nothing to do with it. They're the ones that leave the lights off. And then you have people like yourself that really believe that the veil is thin and that things happen. And, you know, as we're going into winter here in the Northeast, you know, it's a scary time of year, especially 100 years ago for a lot of people. But Halloween, I don't know, I love it. I assume you love it too. And you're probably the busiest between Halloween and Christmas, am I right?
You're so right. I love Halloween. In fact, you touched upon in the intro a place called Fright Haven. That's the haunted house that I opened up years and years ago, founded it. It was my creation. We opened in West Haven, took a few years off, and then opened it again in Stratford. It lasted, it's still open, but I sold it before COVID, never thinking it could open. And then it was taken over by a company out of Kentucky who do a great job with it. I had the non-compete for a few years, and now what I'm doing, and this will be my second year, is something called the Haunted Trolley. The Haunted Trolley is right at the Shoreline Trolley Museum in East Haven, Connecticut, where these antique trolleys still exist, and during Halloween for 4 weeks, every Friday and Saturday, and then the last two weekends of Sunday, I take it over. And we last year we did a paranormal event on the trolley. This year we're doing a murder mystery on the trolley. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of, you know, reinvented myself in that. It's not just the haunted house and the jump scares, but it's a little more, you know, a little more theatrical, a little more fun. I went in a different direction with that. But between that and preparing for the Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention in November, my October is insane, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So listen, I know you have a lot of websites. How do people get a hold of you in case they want to find out about your book or find out about the trolley? You know, I mean, what do they do? Just Google you? Maybe what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Oh, gosh. See, now, there should be one central portal that has everything. But how are you going to put the Beatles on the same website with the paranormal, with horror, with the monkeys, with all that? So each thing, really, believe it or not, has its own website. And at the risk of just doing a laundry list, we'll tell folks that if they're interested in coming on the Haunted Trolley, it's such an easy one. It's www.haunted.com. thehauntedtrolley.com if they want to check out my book of top 10 horror lists, which has all these monster movies and everything that where celebrities gave me their 100 favorite lists. That's book of top 10, the number 10, not T-E-N, book of top 10 horror lists. .com, The True Ghost Stories of Connecticut, which is also a great book, and we've talked about it a bit here. The website for that is www.paranormalconnecticut.com. And I want to also add that all my books are on Amazon. So if you look up my last name, Rosenay, R-O-S-E-N-A-Y, you can find all the books. I think people who are like us would rather have a signed copy, an autographed copy, and love it personalized, which is why the websites are important. For the Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention, which is coming up November 11th and 12th at Salem State University, the show's going to be amazing. And the website for that is www.salemparacon.org. Most of the websites, there's about 20 others, but I think we'll only confuse people if we list any more. Those are the main ones that are coming up.
How do you keep your fans segregated? Because, yeah, you might have somebody that's following you for the paranormal. Then you might have somebody following you because you're an author, or they want to go on a trip to Romania, you know, to sleep in a castle. How do you keep all of these groups separate? What do you do email-wise?
See, now you've given us other reasons to give more websites, because we didn't even touch on the tours. Well, I do have really phenomenal databases that have email lists. So if I've got a Beatles tour to Liverpool coming up, people will automatically hear about it. If they've ever been at any of my Beatle events, if they've ever asked for information, we'll automatically send them information. The same way my Dracula tours to Transylvania have their own mailing list too, so I'll keep them, you know, informed. But if someone just says, oh my gosh, I would love to go to Liverpool and London and follow in the footsteps of the Beatles, you know, they're going to go online. They're going to find 100 different places. There's not a way for me to get to that new, you know, searcher looking for that information. I'm certainly not going to pay to have, you know, my list be on top. I don't know how that even works. But if someone was a Beatles fan, they want to go on a Beatles tour, it's LiverpoolTours.com. So that's got a great website. And the Transylvania trips is DracTours.com, which is short, obviously, for Dracula Tours. And I want to share with you that this past Beatles tour I did to Liverpool in August was my 40th anniversary, and this year the Dracula tour is my 25th anniversary. So I'm really proud that so many years of so many people having probably their greatest vacations, and I'm proud to be a part of that. Maybe if it wasn't for me doing it, they may not have gone, or they may not have gotten into all the places they did. You know, I'm happy that I'm in a position to provide great experiences.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, whether you're producing something at the Jacob Javits Center or whether you're taking people to Europe, you're really doing the same thing. You're really in show business, right? I mean, travel is – I mean, I've known this. I've been around travel for 10 years. I've taken people to Europe and to the Holy Land, so I know what it's like. It's also not easy taking 40 people anywhere. It's not an easy job, right?
It's not. I'm blessed in the fact that when I'm taking them on tours that, you know, are theme tours, they're already psyched, and they're already, you know, in the right mindset. So they're already on my team, so to speak. You know, you mentioned the Holy Land. That's so wild because when I've been doing the Dracula tours for 25 years, and people have such a great time that they said, Charles, why don't we do other kind of tours that are similar? And I started doing, you know, ghost tours to England. No, well, this is great. Where else can we go? Greg, let me tell you, we've gone on ghost tours. Ready for this? England, Ireland, Scotland, Romania, Hungary, Prague in Germany, Cuba, and Israel. We've done ghost tours to all those places.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm looking at the time. We got 5 minutes. I want to bring up this topic of the amazing Kreskin, who I met when I was in high school. He pulled me up on stage. He hypnotized me. This is back in 1980, and I got to see him again last year at your conference. Tell us about what's coming up in Salem with the amazing Kreskin. And literally, we have 5 minutes left. Not even.
Yeah. I love Kreskin because, you know, when you think of paranormal, you think of the Warrens. When you think of magic, you think of Houdini. When you think of mentalism, you gotta give it to the amazing Kreskin. He's been doing it forever. He's special. He wrote the foreword to my True Ghost Stories of Connecticut book. We've been friends for years. He's come on a lot of events. And when I think I got to have a really major super guest, I always go to him if he's never been to one of my shows. So he was at my Connecticut Paracon, as you know, and he's going to be the main guest at the Salem Paracon November 11th and 12th. I have a horror guest, Tara Buckman, who was in Silent Night, Deadly Night. She's been a lot of horror credits. But for the paranormal, for the mind readers, for all that end of things, I've got 30 guests. I mean, it's going to be an amazing show with everyone else, but Kreskin's the headliner, and we haven't announced yet, but we're going to add a show of him actually doing his shtick probably the Saturday night of the convention. I just haven't announced the location yet. But Kreskin, he should be with us another 100 years. The man is getting on in age, but he's still got it when he's on stage.
You know, when I get off this podcast, I'm going to look at my calendar and see if I can make it. I know I can't make Sunday, but I love the man. In fact, I got a Christmas card from him last year, and I opened it up, and I didn't put it away. You know how you put Christmas cards away. I still have it displayed. And he's a very kind man, a gifted man. And like you, he's a showman. He knows people going all the way back to Johnny Carson, and I had him on this podcast as well, and it was a pleasure talking to him as it is talking to you about this. We have 2 minutes left. How do you want to be remembered, Charles? How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a good guy who brought people a lot of joy, a lot of smiles. You know, if I'm remembered by people, that's great. I want my kids to remember what a great dad I've been, and that's more important. My best production is Lauren, Harry, and Ian, my three kids. And if you took everything else away, that's okay. I don't need a legacy. But, you know, what I've left with my kids and how great they are and what good-hearted souls they are, that's it, Greg. Nothing else matters in this world.
I just turned 60 this year, and I'm on the same page. You know, being connected to a family, having your passion, living the dream like you are as well, I think is important. But when it really comes down to everything, I do believe it is relationships. And what I love about Halloween, and this is coming from my heart, it's not just the people that are gathering around, you know, the candy and the trick-or-treaters. It's also remembering those who have died, and especially our ancestors. And I think we've kind of lost that in America. But if you travel to Europe, many, many people have this connection with their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And almost every single culture out there has a connection with a day of the dead. Charles, thank you so much. I had no idea where this was going to go. But I think it was wonderful. How do you think it went?
I loved it, and thank you for mentioning parents and grandparents and people who've gone, because you're right. It's in our hearts and in our souls, and this is such a great interview. Thank you so much for bringing me on. I had a great time.
Me too. I'm hoping that you're safe in your travels, and I have a feeling, I'm a little bit of a mind reader, but I have a feeling that our path is going to cross in the next month or two. Charles, thank you so much. Have a great Halloween.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.